Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. I'm Brian Tracy. And for those of you who don't know me, my wife Lisa and I have been attending Christ Church for more than a year since we moved here last July from Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm the executive director of the Bluefield Arts Center and the Granada Theater. Now, I was last here to preach a sermon in July, so first, thank you for having me back. Just like that sermon, today's sermon is also about a rich man who revels in his wealth. But unlike the story on which my previous sermon was based, the message from today's story is much more direct and straightforward. There are two lessons that Jesus teaches us. The first is that wealth is not a reward from God, and poverty is not punishment by God. The second is Jesus teaches us that the words of Moses and the prophets are to be valued. Now, that first lesson would have been very controversial, even radical, back in Jesus' day. Because back then, being rich meant that you had found favor in the eyes of God. While being poor, well, if you were poor, the thought was your own fault. That whatever misfortune befell you, it was the consequences of your sin. And we learn from the words of Jesus today that he turned those beliefs upside down. From that same lesson, he also upended another widely held belief, and that was that the poor were inferior to the rich. And we hear in the latter part of this story that the rich man thought of Lazarus as his servant after death. He pleaded with Abraham first for mercy for himself and then for his brothers. And he asked Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water to quench his thirst. And then failing that, he decided that he'd treat Lazarus as his messenger. Because he asked Abraham, well, then send Lazarus to my brothers. Now, of course, Abraham said no to both of those requests. So we learn what Jesus has said elsewhere in the gospel from this story, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. In the second lesson, Jesus also reverses, upends another widely held belief. And that is that being a son of Abraham was sufficient for salvation. We heard in today's story where Lazarus called the rich man, or Lazarus called Abraham father. And then the rich man called Abraham father. And then when Abraham came back and responded to the rich man's plea for mercy, he called him son. But simply being a member of the family, being a son of Abraham, we find out was not, in fact, sufficient for salvation. So we hear in today's story that the rich man dressed in the finest of clothes. He ate the best foods at sumptuous feasts. He lived in a grand home with a gate. Now, I think of one of those very large iron gates that look particularly foreboding, and when you walk by them, you wonder, who lives there? While Lazarus was just outside that gate. He was poor, he was destitute, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was sick, perhaps he was disabled. Now, I like movies, as most of you know, so if these two life stories were a movie, I think the rich man's life would have been filmed in a vivid technicolor, and Lazarus' story would have been shot in a grainy black and white. That's how stark the differences were in how they lived their lives. But of all those images of the purple linen that, and I didn't wear purple today on purpose, in the purple linen that the rich man dressed in, to the image of the wild dogs licking Lazarus' sores, the image that stands out most in my mind is from the words of Abraham back to the rich man when he said, "Between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed." A great chasm. So that struck me, and I went to some other translations. And those other translations made that image even stand out more. A great canyon, a great gulf, a big ditch, a great pit, a deep crevice, and a great dark place between you and us has been fixed. Now, all of those images are meant, for me at least, what I take from those is not just to describe that distance, that separation between Lazarus and the rich man in death, but also to describe how we can sometimes get separated from God and what that feels like. So think about being on the edge of the New River Gorge, and God's on the other side, but there's no bridge. And think about, paint a picture of standing at the foot of East River Mountain, and you know you have to climb all of those mountain ranges, rocks, hills, to get to God on the other side, but there's no tunnel, there's no road. And then think about being in the deepest and the darkest of coal mines. You're at the bottom, God's at the top of the shaft, but you have no light. Those are some of the images I take from great chasm in this story, fixed between you and us, between God and us. So who are we in this story? Are we the rich man? I know sometimes I get too focused on material possessions, wealth, and I know sometimes that I overlook those in need of help, and I know sometimes I purposely avoid people who are different than me. Perhaps you do too. Or are we Lazarus? Well, maybe. And if we are, if we ever find ourselves physically, mentally, spiritually beaten down, from this story we can find solace, we can take hope that in the end, it was Lazarus who was carried away by angels. It wasn't the rich man. And it was Lazarus who found peace in the arms of Abraham. It wasn't the rich man. But there's one other set of characters in this story that we shouldn't overlook, and that's the brothers. Are we the brothers? Is that who Jesus intends us to identify with in this story? I think so. Because just like the brothers, we still have a choice. While that great chasm may have been fixed in death, in this story at least, between Lazarus and the rich man, that gate that some theologians think represents the chasm, but in my view, that gate was fixed for Lazarus. He could not have walked up to that, let's say it is that giant iron gate, even if he could have walked. Had he stepped into the rich man's estate, undoubtedly, his presence there wouldn't have lasted long. He would have been thrown out on his ear, if not arrested. So for all practical purposes, that gate was shut to Lazarus. But the rich man on the other side of the gate, he had a choice when he was alive. He could have opened that gate to Lazarus. He could have invited him in. The brothers have that same choice. They still have the opportunity in this story to listen to the words of Moses and the prophets. We have that same choice. We're the brothers in this story. So in our story today, there are no bridge builders in hell. There are bridge builders here in earth today. They're each of you, they're all of us. We can build those bridges between the two worlds, between Lazarus' world and the rich man's world. We can open the gate that the rich man chose to keep shut. So how do we do that? Well, we can start by serving others. We can open the gate that separates us from those in need. We can do what the rich man chose not to do. We can open the gate, and when we come across a Lazarus in our world, we can let him in. And we can open the gates in our hearts and our minds that prevent us from connecting with God. We can open those gates through prayer. We can open those gates through taking in the magnificence of God's creation. We can open those gates by doing just like the brothers were told to do, by hearing the words of Moses and the prophets, and for us, of Jesus. After all, think about what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He told us to ask, to search, to knock. And if we do, if we make that choice, if we ask, it will be given to us, the gospel message, salvation. If we seek, then we will find all of those things. And if we knock, the door will be opened for us. It's our choice, just like the brothers. And remember on the day of Pentecost, after the crowd heard Peter preach, they asked Peter and the apostles, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. He gave them a choice. We have that same choice. So let me conclude with a prayer. Please join me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, hear our prayer. Give us the vision to see Lazarus in our world today. Give us the courage to open the gates that block us from serving others. And give us the strength to build bridges across the chasms that separate us from you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.